The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to... Hey, Style, we got an echo. Get that echo stuck. Okay, he got it. Okay, there you go. He's right on it. And I wanted to say, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this 11th day of July, 2023. And we're going to go the whole while and the whole mile with our producer, Style.
Good evening, Pastor.
Good evening, Style. And tonight my guests are right live in the studio. Keep Pastor Joe in prayer, folks. He's had to take some more tests and things, and there's a slight possibility he might be able to join us tonight, but it's not much of a possibility. But anyhow, today we have someone a whole lot prettier than Pastor Joe and me, Patty Gascoigne. And she's right here with us in the studio. She's the president of Lorraine Ladies Republican Club.
Well, I'm so happy to be here. It's the nicest surprise I had all night.
And you're happy that you're prettier than John and I, right?
Well, it is fleeting, and I'm just grateful for the moment.
Everybody's prettier than John.
A fading flower, but a flower.
There you go. And then we have John Morrow, president of the Committee for a Better Ohio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you. These folks were over at the Tea Party, and Patty spoke, and she did a great job, and I snatched her up. And John's a frequent speaker, and I decided I'm going to bring them on over here and see how they do on the radio. And so that's why they're here. Now we'll test their Bible knowledge.
Uh-oh.
We're going to get into the Word of God. And as we go through here, if you have any questions or comments, just jump right in. Title of the message was, At Death We'll Depart From Here to Eternity. And we start off by talking about, a lot of people hold a variety of different beliefs on what takes place at the moment of death. You know, some believe that we actually get recycled, that we come back as animals or somebody else, and they believe in reincarnation. Others actually believe that we can become haunting spirits, but that's not likely, right?
Right.
And so others believe that we, in the annihilation theory, that we simply cease to exist. And that's not true. People are eternal beings. We never go out of existence. We change real estate, but we never go out of existence. So anyhow, that's what we're talking about here. For the saved and the unsaved, what happens after death? And so tonight we're going to talk about that. Do you know that, Patty, according to you, the Apostle Paul, if you were to die right now, between now and the resurrection, do you know you'd be naked?
I thought I got a white robe.
Well, we'll take a look at that and see what happens, okay? For we know that if our earthly house, and we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, for we know if we're in our earthly house, this tabernacle, that's our bodies, mm-hmm. we're dissolved, we've have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. That's our glorified bodies, is what he's referring to. But in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Again, he's referring to glorified bodies. Now, the glorified body cannot die. It can never die. It cannot ever experience the curse again, or cannot suffer pain, hunger, or disease, or anything. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but unclothed upon the mortality might be swallowed up in life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who hath also hath given us into an earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For if we walk by faith and not by sight, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. So what he's telling you is that for that period of time that we don't have a body, okay, it's referred to as being naked because there's a soul and spirit but no body, okay. But when he comes, when the Lord comes back during the rapture, he doesn't come back to earth. It's not the second coming. He comes to the first heaven. And with him, he brings the cloud. That cloud is the saints. It's the spirits and the souls of the saints. And as he comes back to the first heaven, he takes our atoms and puts them all back together and gives us a glorified body. So the bodies will be caught up in the air with our soul and spirit, and then we become back with our glorified bodies. Makes sense to me, right? Mm-hmm. And then we leave there, we go right back to heaven.
Right.
I'm so glad this is by faith.
Yep.
Because my understanding is a little scrambled egged.
Well, wherefore we labor that we, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Remember what I talked about tonight when I opened the meeting up, that the Bible says that our lifespan is like a vapor in James 4 that appears before an instant, okay? So we have a short period of time. Now, the older you get, the more you realize that. Like I said, I lost 4 friends in a week. All the way back in from the 70s, we started our Thursday morning men's prayer breakfast. We still have it. But at that point, we had about 25 pastors. I'm the only one that's left. They all have passed. All gone home to be with the Lord.
Wow.
Over the years. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And so, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, he talks about our reasonable, that the bodies he's given us to use for the Lord's work is our reasonable sacrifice. It's reasonable. In other words, he's saying that is the least that we could do, okay? And so here, I want to go over now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, what we were just talking about, starting with verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep, will God bring with him. So again, he's talking about, you've got two things. You've got our bodies at rest in the ground, and you've got the Lord coming back with our spirits and our soul in the clouds. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, he's saying that those that have died, first the Old Testament saints and then the New Testament saints, they will be resurrected before us, and then we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, those that are still alive. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel. Now, this is what is called the day of Christ. This is what confuses people. There's a difference between the day of Christ and the day of the Lord. The day of Christ always deals with salvation. The day of the Lord always deals with judgment. So, when here is referring, and the archangel, and with the trump of God, by the way, this trump is the last trump of the church age, the last trump. And the other thing, too, people get confused. This is not what you hear in Revelation chapter 6. People will get confused about a trump and a trumpet. A trumpet makes the sound. The trump is the sound the trumpet makes. And they confuse this. And this is why they talk about this can't be the last trumpet. That's the end of the tribulation period. No, it's not. Here, this is the beginning. This is the last trump of the church age. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Now here, the clouds here are not, you know, those foggy white things floating above. The clouds he's referring to are the spirits and the souls of the saints, that the bodies are caught up to be with their spirits and souls. And the Lord in the air, and we shall, and shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So that was the day, that's talking about the rapture of the church. And there's a whole lot in the Bible about the rapture of the church. But of the, now, that's the day of Christ. Now, that's the day of salvation. Here's the day of judgment. That's the day of the Lord. But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So there's the difference. Now, here, if you read in verse 9, he says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's talking about believers here. That God has not appointed believers. And see, it would make absolutely no sense at all for the church to go through the tribulation period. The purpose of the tribulation period is the purification of the wife of God. Now, Israel is spoken of as the wife of God. The church is the bride of Christ. The church has already been purified, okay? But the wife of God has not repented. That's Israel. And she has not been purified. She will go through the tribulation period. And one-third of all of Israel will be saved. Two-thirds. Two-thirds are the seed, but not the sons of Abraham. The one-third, the sons of Abraham, will be, they will receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, repent. The other two-thirds will perish. And so, if we go over to 1 Corinthians 15, and we read in 1 Corinthians, well, I passed that up, didn't I? Boy, did I. I can't believe I turned that many pages at one time. Haha, there you go. I'll get it. If you have any questions, just ask me as we go through this here. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, we're talking about, but some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body are they, do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except to die. Have you ever noticed something? Have you ever planted corn?
Yeah.
That corn, kernel of corn, will look like it's completely, totally rotted. Okay, that you'll see a little speck of white out of that will be a little, and then it'll turn green, and out of that will a whole new stalk will come, and out of that stalk thousands of more kernels. Okay, but it's got to go for the new life, for the new body, for the glorified body. The old body has to decay. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain, the made chance of wheat or some other grain. But God give it to the body as he hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. There's one kind of flesh of men, another kind of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's also one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, and is raised in incorruption. Well, corruption is a perishable state. It is a state of rottiness, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you take a look at this, he's referring to the unsaved as a continual, their bodies is in a continual state of corruption. In other words, it's a continual state of dying for the unsaved, okay? When they die, when they leave this earth. It is incorruption. It is raised in incorruption. Now, here he's referring to the believers. Our bodies, when we die, they go to the ground, but they're raised and glorified. And the glorified bodies have no curse. There's no death. There's no sickness. They cannot die again.
Mm-hmm.
It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now, a lot of people can't tell the difference between the spirit and the soul. And so, do you guys know the difference between the spirit and the soul?
Isn't the spirit part of the soul or not?
No.
No.
The soul is who you are. It's your personality. When you hear it through the Bible, when it refers to 10 souls died, 10 people, their personalities. That's who they are, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's your identity. It's who you are. Your spirit is your life force. That's your life force, okay? And so here it says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. In other words, Christ was a life force. Howbeit, that he was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. You remember what Jesus said when Nicodemus asked him, how can a man be born again? Jesus said, you must be born again. He's can I fit again in my mother's womb? Okay. And he said, no. He said, that which is flesh is flesh, and that which is spirit. So in other words, he said, you must be born of the water. When that doesn't mean a baptism. He's referring to when a child's born, what breaks?
The water breaks.
The water breaks, and that is flesh. But then he says that which is spirit is when you're born again, when you receive Christ as your Savior. So he says, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is of the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as in the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. And we have been born the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So, there's a lot of theories about what happens when the rapture takes place. Okay, so today, if the rapture would take place right here, right now, there'd be a pile of clothes on the floor. You would have an artificial shoulder here. You'd have a lot of titanium here for me and the hip. You'd have maybe a pile of teeth around here. But there are those that believe that our clothes and everything we left in the pile would be drenched in blood, because blood cannot, you know, go into heaven, okay? And so, but I'm not sure of that. I believe that's part of what's going to be changed, okay? But I'd hate to leave my good clothes in a bloody mess.
Doesn't it say in Isaiah, when we behold him, when he comes, we will know him, we will recognize him, and we will be like him?
That's what he's referring to when we have our glorified bodies.
Ta-da!
Yep. Now, there's an also, this is a theory that's held by a lot of theologians, and that is that we're all going to be at the age of 33. We're all going to appear at the age of 33. And so...
What? I never heard that.
Yeah. Well,
I don't even remember what I looked like at 33.
God does. He remembers what you look like.
Well, that's good. I'm glad he does.
I'll have hair again.
It's overrated.
All right. So, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, somebody once actually timed the twinkling of an eye, and it's a real fraction of a second, okay? In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, again, that's the last trump of the church age, the last trump of the church age it's referring to. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. So then this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? I just preached a number of funerals, and this is a major passage of Scripture you preach at funerals. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. What do you think that means, the strength of sin is in the law?
I would say that because we're not perfect beings, that the evil nature, that part of us, is always as a threat through our law. I would say that we're not, since we're not perfect beings, we can't make perfect law.
Okay.
And the law always can only tell you what you're doing wrong.
So is the law flawed? The law is perfect, see, and because the law is perfect and we're flawed, the only thing the law can do is condemn us.
Yes.
Okay, and that's what he's referring to here. And so here he says, and the sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, that is what I said today, you know, when I was telling people, we have but a very small window of opportunity right now to place up crowns in heaven.
Yeah.
Okay? And we got to do it now, because there is no more tomorrow. And we'll be back right after this.
I had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. When the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they woke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. She's been driven way off track. And the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. Right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more flack. And we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore.
No, we're not. We're not going to take it anymore. And some of us haven't taken it at all. We've been fighting every single day. And I'll tell you what we're going to be talking about, folks out there listening. We have a very, very serious situation, folks. And I mean, this is a very serious one. So I'm calling to action. You folks out there listening to me right now, a couple of things. We're going to start here. And I have Patty Gascon and John Morrow, and they're going to be telling you what is coming up here. But I have an article. Attorney General Ashley Mooney calls on Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg to testify. As report highlights platform as the top app used by human traffickers. So he goes on to talk about how Instagram, Facebook, WhatsApp, and Facebook Messenger as the most frequently used by human traffickers. Florida Statewide Council on Human Trafficking revealed shocking results in a recent survey of Florida law enforcement agencies. The Florida legislature had mandated this investigation to assess the prevalence and impact of social media platforms' role in human trafficking within the state. Now, look, let's just cut to the chase. We've been telling people here for a while, Patty and John, that the Biden crime family, their job was to keep the border open, keep a flow of drugs, fentanyl, keep a flow, a huge flow of Chinese national, young men of fighting age, into this country. But worse than that, the worst thing was Joe Biden was given the charge to keep a steady flow of young children for pedophiles. These young girls, age 11 or older, got raped an average of four times coming into this country. The people that were not touched were the Chinese national women who were virtually given escorts into this country. Why? Well, because Joe Biden's working for the Communist Chinese Party. He's their man. Now, we've told you this for years. This is nothing new.
So most favored nation status had nothing to do with it, right?
Right. So now what we want to talk about is coming from the top down. Now, in Ohio here, we have issue one coming up on August 8th. It is extremely important that we pass this. This is we've got to pass issue one, and then we've got the major battle coming up in November. So issue one has to do with changing our Constitution. What we want to do is we want to amend the Constitution where it takes 60 votes. Like most states have done this, okay?
Yeah.
More than half the states have already done this, where it takes 60 votes, so it wouldn't be so easy to amend the Constitution. Now, the reason we want to do that is that the opposition, and I'm telling you, these are the very same people that are behind this. This is out-of-state money. It's coming out of Florida. It's coming from George Soros. Soros is putting megabucks into this operation here in Ohio. This money is to come in what they call the Women's Reproductive Act is right from hell. They want to amend our Constitution because that would literally eliminate all parental rights. I've worked from the very beginning. I was in the very early days with Jack Wilkie and Linda Tyes, and where we had our mission statement. We started Ohio Right to Life, and then he started National Right to Life. And I've worked all those years to pass legislation. I worked on what we used to call the brain suction of abortion.
Yeah.
They turned it into partial birth abortion.
It's a prettier name.
Yeah, and I worked very, very, very hard with Jan Porter and my good friend Barry Sheets that just passed away.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We worked hard to pass the heartbeat bill, okay? And now we're fighting like everything. We've got to keep this from passing. This, again, you folks, listen to me. These people out there that have their vote no signs in the yards, they're helping, they're working right with the people that are involved in this child smuggling rings. So that's where we have to start, Patty. Tell us, go ahead, I'll let you take it from there.
Well, I'll let you know that I got a very interesting call from AFSCME. All those public employees that pay into this lovely union, this AFSCME union, talking to me about one person, one vote. And I'm sure a lot of other people got a call from one of these wonderful paid telemarketers. And these hypocrites over at AFSCME and the Democrat Party, if they're making calls too, I only got one from AFSCME, they require a 60% threshold of members' votes to change something. And it's like, how hypocritical to wish upon our state something less than they require of themselves. And as important as it is to raise the threshold in order to thwart getting an easy passage for this so-called citizen-initiated constitutional amendment on the ballot in November. We've got to show up in November. As many people as you can get to August 8th, say, I'll see you in November. Who else can we bring? If you're going to bring five people to vote yes or do your early voting together, voting yes on issue one for August 8th, then you find 10 people to take with you for November, because Republicans don't like to turn out in off-year elections. And when we have elections like this, just like we had the split primary, there was a huge drop-off for round two. So we cannot afford a drop-off in voter turnout for November 8th. So bring 10 people with you. Make calls. You don't got to get paid. You don't got to be pressured. You just have to do it.
John, now in the states like Michigan, where they've got this on the ballot, nobody has been able to do it. They only did it when you had a 50-50 vote to amend the Constitution. Now, in fact, I think in Michigan they had like 56%, okay? But they haven't been able to do it. Now, Ohio's constitution has been amended, what, like 170 times, and this is not good at all. This is terrible. And so if we raise that threshold to 60 to amend the constitution, that'll be a good chance to keep this horrible, right from the pit of hell, amendment of the constitution from happening, okay? And again, let's remind the people, it will restrict all parental rights. In other words, your 13-year-old daughter could go and have her breast cut off without you even knowing it. Okay, the only thing that you'll be able to do is pay the bill. You see, that's what they want you to do. Mm-hmm. But again, folks, this is horrible. Now, it would virtually eliminate all of the pro-life legislation that we've passed. So they could kill babies all the way up to the time they're born. And then they want to do it after, too.
It's a defining moment for us. If this bill goes through, we know where we're headed. We know where the chart is charted for us to go at this point. And that's why we need to stop this. When you look at all of the things that are surrounding this, Intel, a terribly woke large corporation that comes to Ohio, and do we believe that it's just coincidence that now we're seeing that we're going to become a pro-baby-killing, pro-murder state? I don't think that that's a coincidence. I do believe that there's been working together some of the upper echelons within the Republican Party that are not as conservative, have worked with this to bring Intel here to personally enrich themselves. And the thing that Intel is a terribly woke organization. They said if we were going to become a pro-life state, that they would pay their employees to be able to go across the border to be able to get abortions. That's how much they hate life. That's how little morals that company has. And we really need to look at where is our money being spent? I'm angry. I'm very angry. We gave over $1 billion of Ohio State taxpayer money. Our money went for this woke corporation to come in here. Now who are we fighting against to keep our values here? They're bringing California values to Ohio, and they are going to try to California our Ohio, and we've got to stop them.
Well, California, they don't really have values. Democrats don't have values. They just, we can't call them values, folks.
Anti-values.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dark values.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And so, again, you folks out there listening, we're trying to explain to you, right? A lot of you parents, going all the way back in the early 70s, I was involved, in fact, a lady named Martha Lippitt and I, we started a homeschooling movement in Ohio. We got together. Martha was a school teacher. She actually had a one-room schoolhouse, just like you saw in the movies. She had the Ten Commandments on the wall and a Bible on her desk. In that one little room schoolhouse, some communist parents got a hold of the ACLU to come and try to make her take her. And she called me, and I said, let's fight. And we went after the ACLU. I started, showing what they really are. They're a communist group, okay? And so out of that, we started the homeschooling movement. We started promoting it back then, and it grew and grew and it grew here in Ohio. But back then, I was telling people, back in the 70s, if you love your children, get them out of the public schools. If you love your children, get them out of there, because they're going to indoctrinate them, and they're going to undo everything that you've done, everything you believe in if you're a Christian. And now, and I remember I had, on the same day, I had two women who came, and they said, I wish we had listened to you. Both of them had son and daughter. Both these women had a son, and both of them had a daughter. And both of their kids ended up not believing in God. They were raised in a church. They went to church, but they sent them to these universities, these public, and they took all their belief. They came out. No longer believing in God. And these two women cried. They sat there and cried. They said, we wish we had put them in a Christian school or gotten them out of the public school when they were little, okay? And that's what happened.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is. And so I have, now, right now we see the signs going out there. Now, you folks out here, just in the Geauga Lake County area, okay, northeast Ohio, if you want a sign, you can get a sign, it's free, and it says vote yes on issue 1, November 8th. You can call Todd Albright at 440-959-1363. That's 440-959-1363. Does that look like a 9 to you, or does that look like a 4? I think it's a 9.
Looks like a 9 to me.
Yeah, okay.
They're nice signs, too. They're beautiful.
Yeah, they really are. And so, anyhow, yeah, that's a 9. Oh, no, you know what? That's a 4. Let me give that number
again.
Yeah,
that is a 4 there.
It's 440-954-1363. 440-954-1363. Yeah, he wrote that there. Yeah. And, folks, you need to get the sign. Listen to me. If you're registered to vote and you don't go and vote for this, I'm ashamed of you. If you don't go vote, let me just tell you, you got no right to complain when they steal your vote. And that's what they do.
And not just vote. Talk to people. Get them out to vote. Vote early, because the earlier you vote, you can vote right now. You can vote today. You can vote tomorrow. You can vote all the way up till August 8th, and then you'll have to vote at your local polling location on August 8th. But vote now. And the reason why we need you to vote now is because we spend money at advertising and sending out letters to people to get them out to vote, to remind them. And if you go vote, well, then we know to take you off the list and we don't have to spend that money. And we can keep that money and look at November 7th and spend that money in November 7th ballot to really put a dagger into the heart of this abortion, woke ideology, expansionism.
It's Satanism is what it is.
It really
Everything
is.
Everything what you talk about is a total opposition to what God's Word, the Bible,
Absolutely.
Teaches.
Absolutely.
And so, folks, again, this is very, very important that you do this. You have to get out and tell people, absolutely tell people about this. Now, again, remember, if they get this passed, not only, again, will it eliminate all of the pro-life legislation, it'll be abortion for any reason, and, you know, in some of these states, they... You don't even have to be what they call a doctor, okay, to do abortions. They can have these nurses do them, okay? Which, I mean, no matter who does it, it's wrong. It's a horrible, horrible, horrible sin. In fact, it's America's national sin. Now, not only that, but again, I'm going to tell you, it could be where if you object to them to trying to indoctrinate your children into sodomy, what they call LGBTQ. God's Word, the Bible, calls it an abomination. What they are saying, and what Joe Biden is saying, is that the sodomite lifestyle is not only acceptable, it's superior to heterosexual. These people are, again, right from the pit of hell, I'm telling you. Now, the people that are putting these signs out vote no. Out there, these are the people, they're the same people that's involved with this child smuggling. They're getting the money. The money's coming from out of state. It's not coming from here in Ohio. It's coming from George Soros. It's coming from California. It's coming from all over the country. And, folks, these are pedophile rings. Listen to me. Please listen to me out there. You need to get involved. I want to, you know what, we're going to play a clip here because... After the top of the hour, and Levine is going to
Mark Levin, a fount of wisdom.
Yeah, he is going to be, and he's going to hit the nail on the head. We've been trying to explain to people, and I've had Mike Gill on here and others, that this our corrupt government has become so corrupt. The FBI. Now, I'm not talking about the field agents out there. The guy in the beat, because I had a lot of friends in FBI agents. They're more upset about this than I am. I want to say praise to good Lord for those whistleblowers within the FBI.
Oh, yeah.
Anyone and everyone that's decent American patriot, in my opinion, if they're not a whistleblower, then they're not, okay? They've got to stand up, okay? If you don't stand for what's right, you fall for what's wrong, won't you?
Yeah, and if you don't condemn it, you're condoning it. We can't condone with silence that what is trying to be perpetrated on us when we can go out and vote, and we can put a sign in our yard to vote yes on issue one, and we could show up to vote in November, and we can educate our neighbors and actually do something, take a stand, because there's no excuse for being silent on this. The information's too readily available.
Well, there are some good news, because we're seeing quite a bit of an awakening. The parents finally realized what we were trying to tell them all these years. When they finally, you know, because of COVID, they started actually looking at the textbooks and seeing what their children were being taught. Well, we were trying to tell them, see. Mm-hmm. And some of the parents actually loved their kids enough to say, you know what, we don't want our children indoctrinated into pornography, okay? Others kind of hate their children. The people that take their children to see drag queens, these people, they hate their children. They hate their children. If they take them out there to see them, these people are sick and they're perverted, and they hate their children. And I got to tell you know what? God's watching that. And I think there's a special hot place in hell for people that do that to the children.
I think so, too. I'm pretty sure the word's clear on that.
Yeah. Jesus said you'd been better off if you'd never been born. Mm. Or if you'd had a millstone which weighed 4,000 pounds hung around your neck and drowned, than to harm one of the little ones, huh?
Right, right. And one of the things that I see is that people believe that they're coming to the defense of somebody that's being persecuted. And that's not at all what this is. This is an abhorrent and trying to normalize perversion. And it's something that is our moral fiber, our moral basis is to reject that. And we should be rejecting it. And they're trying to raise an entire generation to normalize perversion. And just to say that, well, everything is normal and nothing is abnormal. I'm sorry, but if you're attracted to little tiny children in a sexual manner, you are abnormal. And it's not. It's not something bad to say that they're abnormal. It's not something bad to say that they have a mental illness. It needs to be fixed. And we shouldn't just go around and saying, well, you can be anything you want to be. If you want to identify as this, if you want to identify as that, if you want to have sex with children, we should not be normalizing that. We should be angry about it, and we should fight back against it.
Well, you see, all you have to do, John, is just change the terminology. So instead of calling them pedophiles today, what do we call it? There's another name.
Minor attracted people.
Right, okay.
Horrible.
So that's what you do. Instead of calling a baby that's killed in the womb, they call it a product of conception, okay? It's called the language of illusion and delusion. Now, God tells you in Isaiah 66, verse 4, that he's going to send them strong delusion, and that's what he has. Listen. Believe me, God has sent these people, those people that don't know what a woman is, okay? We told you years ago what a woman is. A woman is someone that always remember all the things you did wrong 3 years ago.
Right. Well, that's very humanizing in the face of all this dehumanizing language.
You know, a woman is where we all came from.
Right. So women, check this out. Women can be daughters. They can be aunts, they can be grandmothers, they can be mothers, okay? They can be sisters, right? That's what women are, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, you see, women give birth, too, right? Now, see, if you're giving birth, you're not a woman, are you? No. We knew that, okay? See, there's something called common sense. But now you see that you have, and the left is totally void of common sense. They're totally, that's why the Bible, do you know the Bible calls the left, those on the left, fools? Do you know that?
And goats.
And we don't want to participate in insipid arguments.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't entertain them by trying to engage in something that's totally preposterous. If you're not smart enough to know what a man is or a woman is, sorry, I don't want to have a discussion with you. I do want to recognize a person, and I do want to believe that we have a way to be able to move forward with discussion. But if you're not willing to recognize reality, I can't have a discussion with
you. Well, now, John, don't you know that the women on the left now can marry themselves? They're doing that now. And I saw one of their weddings. What they do is they get a full-length mirror, and they stand in front of that full-length mirror, and they have a nice wedding dress on, too. And what they do is they exchange vows with themselves. And I try to explain to them, in case of divorce, how are you going to divide a property? And they haven't come to that yet. So if you can't do that, if no prenuptials, why go through the whole thing of getting married to begin with, right?
Look at the smashing success of Khrushchev's list to take down America without firing a shot. I think normalizing homosexuality was on that. And look into it, folks. It's in the congressional record.
Right. These are the new useful idiots that we have.
Absolutely. You know what? It's time, I think, what we're going to do. Style, if you can, I would team up that marriage parody. It's time.
All right.
It's time to listen to the marriage parody here. And then we'll talk about, we're going to go to Mr. Mark Levine, and he's got something to say. And after that, we'll open the phone lines, and we'll see what the people listening have to say.
Point me to the nearest mirror.
Okay, all right, there you go. Yeah, it's amazing. You look up marriage parody. It's there. It's on the sheet. Marriage parody. You'll find it. Ready? And I know we're coming up to the break, so during the break, see if you can find it there. But it's there. I know it's there. Because we played it. Yeah. We've been playing it for years and years. So, anyhow, that's what's happening. We're coming up to a break, folks. When we come back, we have a whole lot of things I wanted to tell you. Bill Grady, is going to be preaching at our church this coming Sunday. He's going to be in my pulpit, Bill Grady. And Bill has written a book called Perilous Times, Deep Truths for Shallow Waters. And boy, it's a powerful book. But he's got a powerful message for what is taking place today. He's been looking into all of these things about people today, the lunacy you see. See, it don't always work that way because, you know, like today if you decide that you want to be a woman and you can go into a Target store and go into the girls' bathroom and watch little girls change their clothes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you feel like you're a woman today. You're having a woman day, right? But that's kind of, well, it's called delusion, isn't it?
It is. It really is. There's no such thing in the lexicon of the left, of the woke ideologues, that looks at self-denial. They
right.
want to give in to everything. Mm-hmm. And self-denial makes us better people because we're living a better path. We're living a better path. We're not living the path that where we indulge in every little thing that gives us pleasure. We're following a higher calling.
Hang tight. Coming to a break. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. More to come. So, and when we come back again, like I said, we're going to listen to Mark Levine. Be right back after this.
Fight the fight. Fight the lie. We are left. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills. I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns.
What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.